9:58. It's 9:59.
Authorize application to the Metro Regional Government for grants up to $30 million for 8 active transportation infrastructure or project development projects and 2 regional freight investment projects.
Mr. Novick.
Colleagues, these projects represent PBOT's grant applications for transportation funding in Metro and funding made available from the federal government. Regional flexible funds represent some of the most flexible sources of transportation funding available in the region. And of course, we prioritize applications and projects will have a strong positive impact on the safety and reliability of our transportation network. As a member of JPAC, I've been in conversations about the policy background for these RFF fund grant requests and feel very confident we've developed a strong list of projects for regional consideration. The grants are the result of extensive public conversations and analysis. The list of projects that we're submitting is a clear indication of our continued prioritization of equity and Vision Zero. Before I turn it over to the panel that will describe the process and projects in more detail, I'd like to thank our modal committees and the Transportation Justice Alliance for their help in developing this list. Also pass on some good news of our most recent transportation grant requests. We have tentatively received 2 enhanced STIP grants, $2 million for the 70s Greenway, $1.6 million for an I-205 undercrossing near Gateway. We were successful as a region in securing Tiger Grant funding to have a rail overpass in Rivergate and address a rail bottleneck. We hope this Friday to get final approval of $2.9 million for the Flanders Active Transportation Bridge over 405 in Northwest. These successes are a result of outstanding grant proposals developed by our PBOT Resources team, as well as strong letters of support by business, health, and equity champions in our community. And now for a more thorough overview of our proposed RFF grant request, I'd like to call on Mark Lear, Shoshana Cohen, and Brett Horner. Who's first?
I'm Shoshana Cohen, part of the resources and legislative team at PBOT. And as the commissioner said, we're here to talk to you about our grant application package for the regional flexible funds. I'm going to take just a couple minutes to talk about how we selected this package of projects and then turn it over to Mark and Brett to talk more about the actual projects. So we've been developing sort of a long-term project identification process to get projects ready for a variety of grant and funding opportunities, including the ones that the commissioner just mentioned. Flanders and I-205 have all been using sort of a similar project identification process, so we have a pipeline of projects when there are funding opportunities. And to start that process, what we do is we've been looking to the recently updated project list on the transportation system plan that was just updated. And all projects that land on the transportation system plan project list have been identified with the following criteria. We look to how they do on safety criteria, climate, neighborhood access, health, their economic benefits, cost effectiveness, equity, and how they fare with community support. So that's where we turn to first when we look to start potentially funding projects. And so we're looking to the projects that score well, the generally high-scoring projects, which is a pretty big list. We have a lot of good ideas and needs in transportation. So depending on the particular funding opportunity, we have what we're sort of referring to as our more funding grant-specific readiness criteria. The first thing that we look to, obviously, is the particular grant criteria for any particular pot of funds. Flanders, which the commissioner mentioned we're hoping to get final approval for on Friday, has very different, or the Connect Oregon pot has very different criteria than the regional flexible funds. We're looking if these projects will be ready within the particular time frame of the grant pots. We're looking for match. We're looking again to how they fare with community members and if they help us with our equity goals. And we've been working a lot with the modal committees, the pedestrian, bicycle, and freight modal committees. We've been going back to those committees multiple times throughout this process to get their feedback, and we are pleased to say that all 3 of the ped, bike, and freight committees will be submitting letters of support to help us with this application, or with this package of applications. And then in this particular round, we've also reached out to the Transportation Justice Alliance, a group working sort of on the intersection of transportation and equity issues, and we've asked them for feedback as we were developing this candidate project list as well, and received some very helpful feedback from them. 2 more things is just Brett is here. We've been working closely with other bureaus. Brett will talk a little bit more about 1 collaborative project with parks. And then we're looking to sort of a continually emerging needs and plans. A couple of the projects are coming directly out of some ongoing planning processes. So that's how the list of 10 projects before you today has been created. And those, what we're competing for right now is from the regional flexible funds. Those are dollars, federal transportation dollars allocated every 2 years by Metro. There's approximately $130 million being allocated for between 2019 and 2021, although the majority of that is going to bonding for transit projects, bonding for other sort of large regional bottleneck projects, as well as some smaller safe routes to school, education, regional transportation options, things like that. So Mark and Brett are going to talk to you in a minute about projects specifically for about $26 million in active transportation funds available for the region, as well as about $7 million available for freight projects.
Great. Mark Lear, Portland Bureau of Transportation. One of the things that's been nice in the recent update of the Regional Flexible Funds policy is they have new criteria, especially in the active transportation front. And I just wanted to highlight three of those criteria, the three of the main criteria that they'll be evaluating projects, because I think you'll see it in all of the projects that we'll be showing in just a second, how they meet those goals. The first one is being much clearer about benefits to underserved communities that rely on active transportation as being one of the criteria. The next one, again, following the Vision Zero goal, just really looking at, you know, what are we doing to reduce fatals and serious injuries and where those are concentrated. And then the last one, improving access to schools and parks. As probably a lot of you have heard, in this last Metro process, the For Every Kid campaign and the organizations that came around behind that was sort of a, you know, once-in-a-decade sort of phenomenon. I think it's a real interest in seeing how that energy can really be used to get the best projects and continue strong funding for those important services. So just jumping into the projects, the first, these are just alphabetical. They're not prioritized in any order. But the first one is a set of improvements, safety improvements in the Brentwood-Darlington neighborhood, really focused on safe routes to schools. We're really focusing on two busier streets, Duke and Flavelle, and making sure that we fix all the sidewalk gaps between 52nd and 82nd. Right now, it's depending on where developments occur, there's some pretty big gaps. In addition to that, there's a neighborhood greenway project on Knapp and Ogden. I just yesterday or the day before, we got a, it's worth noting that we got a petition from the neighborhood that had 1,000 signatures. There's just a lot of community interest in addressing some of the lack of connectivity in this neighborhood. The next project on the list builds off of our first phase of investments in the Connected Coley plan. This is phase two of Connected Coley. It builds sidewalks and a multi-use path, depending on where you are on that section of Coley, that section of 72nd. And again, is the second highest priority, really, of the investments now to complete in that area. Coley is one of those examples of an area that's not in East Portland, but has very similar characteristics as far as lack of sidewalk and basic infrastructure. I think one of the strongest projects that we have is this David Douglas Safe Routes to School project. We've known for a long time the need for additional sidewalks on 130th from Stark to Division. There's also some work on a neighborhood greenway that we think would also benefit from sidewalks as well on Mill. This is a project that, you know, serves our most diverse high school in the state and thinks it's very important from an equity perspective. This one was a new project for us as we've looked at the crash data. This is the Hillsdale Town Center pedestrian connections. As we've looked more at crash data and lack of infrastructure, it's really clear as you're heading out of town through Hillsdale and onto Beaverton Hillsdale Highway, there's some really big sidewalk gaps that connect a number of apartments and lower income properties that right now really don't have access to the town center. Especially as we build the Red Electric project and the new bridge that's going to be associated with there, it's really important that we have a safe way for people to be connecting to that facility. They're so close right now, but just there's no sidewalk. Another project, which I think has a lot of community support, is safety improvements in the Jade and Montevilla centers. Obviously, that's an area that's had booming economic development as far as just community development. And there's been just a lot of work between ODOT, PBOT, and TriMet and BPS to figure out safety improvements that would be necessary to really make that area function. This gives us $7 million total project with $3.5 million in the grant request. I probably should have mentioned earlier that almost all of the matching funds for these projects that I've talked about come from SDCs. There's one in a second that Brett will talk about that has some parks SDC, but most of it's transportation system development charge revenue. The One of the other projects that I think is a really strong project is this Northeast Halsey Street safety access to transit. Right now, that connection between the MAC station on Jonesmoor out to Gateway is really limited. And so our ability now to build on, to make these improvements on Halsey from 65th to 92nd really allows us to make that connection so that we don't, which is one of the scarier connections right now, especially for a bike in East Portland. This is really allows us to build on that and also allows us to connect to the investment the PDC is making in Gateway as well. And with that, I'll turn it over just to, for Brett to just talk for a second about the North Portland Greenway Trail project.
Thank you, Mark. I'm Brett Horner with Portland Parks and Recreation. I'm happy to be here and happy to be part of this suite of very important projects. This project is a segment of the North Portland Greenway. It's the Willamette Greenway. And you may recall a study came to you about a year and a half ago with an alignment for that trail. And it's a segment, it's one segment of five, and it is basically the segment between Pier Park and Cathedral Park. So you'll see there's a number of street improvements that will happen along with it. It's a very, very important piece of the Willamette Greenway. Very much project ready. There's not acquisition or easements to acquire. Much of it is in right-of-way. And very much highly touted by the advocacy groups in that area, including Friends of Baltimore Woods and Friends of NP Greenway. So we've been working very closely with them. We're meeting with them tonight, actually, to go through the details of the proposal. And we're happy to answer any questions about this project.
Great stuff. Thank you. Questions?
I have a question. You noted that they're not listed in any kind of order. But I noticed that we've asked for $30 million in grants, and they only have $26 million. And then we've asked for $3.6 million at the freight, which is about half of the freight amount. So are we just throwing the noodles at the wall to see what sticks? Or
I think in the last cycle, Metro had what they called a jurisdictional sub-allocation, where they would say, City of Portland, we think you have about this much money. Tell us how you want us to spend that much money. They got a little bit of criticism that process was not as robust as it needed to be from some sort of a public involvement perspective. They wanted it to be more competitive, and they're going to be running a public involvement process in October where they'll be hearing from lots of community members, probably why there's some that aren't here today, because that's really where the public involvement part of it's going to be taking place. And so I think our sense right now is you're right that we have about a 200% list of what we think we probably will get funding for. But I think we feel really good that the criteria that Metro has put together is solid and that the public process, that we should trust the public process to help us make that decision. It may turn out, as the conversations are happening, that council wants to weigh in those conversations, but at this point, I think we feel pretty comfortable with the process.
Thank you. That's really good to hear. And if you could pass on to Metro that to consider alternative ways of testifying other than being in a council chamber on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
I think one of my concerns would be that some of the underserved communities may not have a lot of capacity to turn out the troops.
Exactly.
So I very much appreciate this process and all of your work. Thank you.
Thanks. And I just had just a couple more projects, just three more to highlight, I think. The first one is the Outer Stark Halsey and Complete Street Project Development. In our growing transit community grants, we've identified that these two street segments, one, are high crash locations, but also really need some additional investment to meet our transit goals and our pedestrian bike safety goals. So this is project development money. Metro sets aside a little bit of project development money. And so we think this is a pretty competitive project, even though we're only asking for $300,000. If you remember, there's in the regional flexible fund, 75% gets allocated to active transportation and 25% gets allocated to freight or green economy. The factors they're looking at here, the three top factors, are leveraging other resources, reducing freight delay, and increasing freight access. Rivergate would have been the project that we had on the list, but as the commissioner mentioned, we got it funded through a Tiger grant. So that project came off the list, and we now have two projects. The first one is Central East Side Circulation and Safety Enhancement Project. This is actually one of those sort of win-wins between freight and bicycle and pedestrian interests. I think there was a lot of good work that happened in the Southeast Quadrant Plan about some additional signals that could be added, as well as some changes to how some of the signals were working. It would not only benefit trucks, but would also provide some more certainty of where bikes are crossing, pedestrians are crossing in this heavily an area with a lot of demands. So this has been a nice one that, as our freight advisory committee, strongly supports the project, but it has a lot of benefits across the modes. Then the last project is an intelligent transportation system project, so coordination of signals, understanding where trucks are, keeping trucks out of dilemma zones. We had a grant a few years ago to do some of this work, but it's turned out that there's a lot more value that we can add with additional ITS investments. So that's the presentation. The applications are due August 26th. Again, like I had mentioned to Commissioner Fritz, the public comment period is going to be in October, so we'll be involved in that conversation and do what we can to help make sure that voices that maybe sometimes aren't heard are heard in that process. And then funding decisions January 2017, and then the money will be here in 19 to 21.
Thank you all. Further questions for our team? Thank you. Anyone want to speak on this item? Come on up.
Terry Parker, fourth generation Portlander, and I've lived in the same house since I was 4 years old. If you follow the media, if you hear what drivers in the freight community are saying, Portland is getting more congested. As noted by Bruce Starr on KETU's Your Voice, Your Vote, more motor vehicle road capacity is needed to reduce congestion creep. Yet at the same time, Peabot is proposing road diets that lessen motor vehicle capacity, create even more congestion, and therefore more emissions. My comments today are directed to the description of the Northeast Halsey Safety and Access Transit Project. That's Exhibit A. And that's what's online. And I apologize I didn't make a copy because my scanner happens to be down right now. When this section of Halsey at the end of my block was repaved, and learning that the street would be reconfigured into a two-lane street from a four-lane street with parking on the curb lane during the non-peak hours, I went door to door and spoke with neighbors. The primary and majority concern was to retain parking on Halsey so that overflow from the Providence Home Services 215-space parking lot that can only be accessed from Halsey would not take place on the cross streets. Now with a road diet in place between 60th and 66th, pedestrian safety conflicts have increased at 60th Avenue Signal, and westbound traffic on Halsey often backs up to a crawl six blocks or more from 60th. Because of safety concerns on weekdays, I will no longer make a left-hand turn onto Halsey off of my street, using extra gas to take the longer route around. Top priorities for the Rose City Park neighborhood include a left turn signal from westbound Halsey to southbound 60th, reestablishing an additional peak period Halsey travel lanes where the road diet is today, wider sidewalks on Northeast 60th, and establishing various Mark crosswalks. There's already a bike route on Tillamook and Hancock Streets that parallel Halsey. We were told that our thoughts would be incorporated, but it seems like they're not listening to us when prioritizing the special interests, be it bicycle developers or whomever. I'm a little bit confused here because what I saw on the screen was a bicycle lane to 65th, and somewhere in the stuff online, I got it was to 55th. It should only go to 67th, cross the freeway and then down, cross the highway and then down 67th to Tillamook, which is already a bikeway. Halsey is too narrow to have bike lanes and parkings, and there is a need for the jog, for four lanes for the jog between 60 and 52nd. Finally, to finish up here, over the next 20 years, car trips in the Portland metro area are expected to increase by 49%, regardless of how much mass transit service is added. Nearly 10% of the jobs in the U.S. are related to the auto industry. Instead of profiling and targeting motorists as the enemy, when are you going to wake up to reality and properly accommodate these primary taxpaying financial stakeholders that currently supply the majority of funding for citywide transportation system projects? And when is the freeloading community going to equitably pay their own way and be weaned off from using gas tax dollars and other motorist pays fees to pay for their huge I want list that doesn't give a rip about the negative impacts to other street users. I apologize for not sticking with my testimony, but I'm a little bit confused about the 55th versus 65th when our neighborhood said 67th so that the bicycles could get across the freeway, because there's plenty of room on the freeway overpass between 67th and 68th. But we don't want them down halls, and we'd like what has been called the skip striping, putting the pro tem parking back on and the lanes back in between 60th and 65th, left turn pocket at 60th to make it so that traffic doesn't back up. And there has been a letter sent to PBOT from the Neighborhood Association. Again, I apologize, I don't have a copy because I didn't have a copy in my computer, but I know that one was sent.
All right, well, obviously more discussion between the neighborhood and PBOT is appropriate. So
thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Yes, I'll be brief on this. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. Just the question I have is that you're saying these funds will be available from 2019 to 2021. Is there not funding available for these projects at this time, and why would they be pushed out that many years through the Metro Regional Government? And also real fast, if I might finalize this, is that you mentioned a bridge, I believe you said Flanders?
Yes.
Could you maybe speak a little bit more on that? Are you also planning on applying for a grant through this, toward that bridge, and maybe elaborate a little bit more on that? Thank you.
Actually, Mark, do you want to respond to that?
Mark Clear, Portland Bureau of Transportation. We submitted a grant to Connect Oregon for a Flanders Active Transportation Bridge. I think, as we mentioned to council, it's also something that will be a lifeline route in case of an earthquake. It connects between 15th and 16th on Flanders over I-405.
Yeah. And the 2021,
yeah,
that's just a function of the federal money comes in sort of three-year tranches.
Exactly, and we're always planning a frustrating period ahead, but that's just the way the process works.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the clarification. Okay, any other questions? Then let's take a vote, please.
Saltzman.
These look like good projects. Good luck. Hi.
Novick.
Really appreciate all the work community members and PBOT staff have done identifying these projects and gathering support for them, and I'm very hopeful that we'll do very well in the process. Hi.
I very much appreciate the heavy emphasis on sidewalks in this list, and looking forward to the wide public process encouraging everyone to participate. And thanks to Leah Treat and all the PBOT staff, as well as Commissioner Novick. Bye.
If the folks can turn out to the Metro hearings like they have at our budget hearings about the importance of these projects in neighborhoods, I have no lack of confidence that we'll be victorious. Aye.